day after Christmas, producer's choice, Dr. Tim Slecker, Jacob, chairman of the boards, Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education. Where's Johnny the day after Christmas? Jacob, the last I heard, there was a mound of wrapping papers seen somewhere in the state of Washington, so high, but they sensed there was movement under that wrapping paper. And some people are potentially saying they think Johnny just overindulged in wrapping paper on Christmas.
You hate to see it. It's a horrible thing that takes place all over America. You know, a lot of people buried beneath wrapping paper. It's a tragedy every time. But thankfully, Johnny is going to dig himself out. We expect it. We're going to get him back here on the show very, very soon, Tim.
Yeah, I hope so, because, I mean, well, here's the other thing. You know, I mean, people are like, it's such a tragedy to see people buried in wrapping paper.
Yeah, a lot of people say that, not just.
I was just thinking, what about the people who don't have any wrapping paper to be buried under? You know, the people that do the, we don't wrap Christmas gifts. Have you met any of these people?
What is this horrible thing you're telling me about right now, Tim? I'm glad it waited until after Christmas to harsh my mellow. What are you talking about?
There's a culture out there that the no wrap gifts for Christmas culture. I've experienced a few, and I'm gonna give a little bit and go. It is a lot easier after you quote open your gifts. There's no cleanup needed.
Tim, none of this was about it making sense. Okay, it's a holiday. It's an arbitrary tradition, and gosh dumb it, I'm not going to have you taking my wonderful wrapping paper. I love struggling to open up my gift and then having pile upon pile of wasted, discarded paper to deal with. That's part of the holiday for me, Tim. You can't change things since I was a boy. It has to stay exactly the same.
I need wrapping paper. I need people to have gone out and spent good money on paper that was, you know, was originally part of a tall standing tree somewhere, sucking out the carbon dioxide from the air and contributing to life on this planet. I needed that tree to go away so I could wrap and then unwrap, well, actually tear the flesh of what used to be a tree and throw it on the ground so that people could stamp on it. Am I painting a sad enough picture for you, Jacob?
Darn it, Tim, that's my CO2, and I'm sick of these trees sucking it up and taking it from me.
All right. No, I'm done. I love Christmas. I will admit, though, Jacob, I'm this guy. I'm going to point this out.
And okay.
I've been getting razzed on it. If I'm around as you're, quote, unwrapping or ripping the wrapping paper off of your presents, I can't let it sit on the floor very long. I got to get it and pick it up and put it in a bag.
Come on, Tim. It's Christmas.
I got no problem with the wrapping paper and the joy and the fun, but like, when it starts accumulating around people, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, look what happened to Johnny, right?
Maybe if he didn't do this, he wouldn't be in this situation. I guess, you know, you might have a point.
So anyway, I'm like, would you sit down already and quit picking up the wrapping paper? Like, I would if I could, but my head won't let me because every time I see wrapping paper on the ground, I get stressed out. So if you want me to sit and relax, I can need to pick up the wrapping paper. Maybe I'm admitting too much on this day after Christmas.
Tim, look, man, you've got a compulsion to pick up wrapping paper, and that's fine, because I, too, have a compulsion to do the Producer's Choice Show every single Friday here on Busted Pencils. And here we go with the intro.
For Choo-Choo producer, Jacob's Choice, chairman of the board.
Ow! You now have two choices.
Chairman of the board, Jacob.
Ow!
Jacob, chairman of the board.
I bet the board is spelled B-O-R-E-D.
We choose to go to the moon.
Life's full of tough choices in it.
You chose poorly.
Welcome to the Producer's Choice Show for December 22nd, 2025. I am joined today for an intimate one-on-one interview with one of my favorite educated educators, namely Dr. Tim Slecker. Tim, you've been a teacher, an administrator, you've written on education, you've advocated for education, and now you're best known for being the co-host of Busted Pencils and, most importantly, my boss. Tim, thanks for being here.
Woo, not a problem, Jacob. Wait, I thought the boss thing was the other way around.
Well, you've hired me to come boss you guys around and make sure that you do your jobs. It's sort of a cyclical thing, mutually beneficial.
Cool. I'm so glad I've hired a boss. No, Jacob, I'm excited to be here again. You know, being a guest on my own show is something that many hosts wish could happen to them, but it has come true for me. I get to be a guest on my own show.
Tim, the day after Christmas, just like all year round, I'm making your dreams and your wishes come true by letting you be a guest on your own show. I'm going to ask you a question. I wonder, do you know why I'm going to do this? Why did I do that, Tim?
Fight Club, end of the boxing ring, you know, he's out, he knockout.
No!
Oh!
Tim, you're wrong. I did that. You're barking up the right tree, but you missed the key here. It's December 26th, a.k.a. Boxing Day. It is Boxing Day, folks. If you're wondering what that is, according to Encyclopedia Britannica, it is a holiday in which servants, tradespeople, and the poor traditionally were presented with gifts, but by the 21st century became a holiday associated with shopping and sports events. It's mainly celebrated in the United Kingdom and other Commonwealth countries. And Tim, that got me thinking, as I realized it was Boxing Day and as Christmas came to an end, that, man, there are so many different cultural and religious customs associated with the holidays. One country does this, another does that. We don't have Boxing Day, but our British friends across the pond do. There's so many different holidays. And it got me thinking, Tim, you and I did a show on this Monday about controversies surrounding the nativity scene, which I will link to in the description of this show. And that got me thinking, now that Christmas is over, maybe we should get into the nitty-gritty of these political questions surrounding how holidays work.
Okay, I'm with you.
So I'm going to start us off with a pretty simple question, Tim. You and I have both heard a lot about the so-called war on Christmas, and I'll just pull the curtain aside. I'm not totally sold on how real those complaints actually are, but I'm wondering if you have noticed any changes in the way schools approach celebrating the holidays since you were a kid back in the 1950s.
Jacob, that would be the 70s.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
1870s.
Back when people wore really bad pants and men had really bad mustaches.
I've seen Burt Reynolds. I don't know.
You know what? Yes, absolutely. Things have changed. So, you know, you want a fact check? Yes. When I was in school in the 70s, you know, Homestead, Pennsylvania, Calhoun Elementary School, it was all about Christmas, Jacob. It was the Christmas season. It was celebration. It was packaging. It was, you know, nativity scenes. You know, Europeans who were totally in all the nativity scenes, and we were happy. about that. Actually, we were like, I don't know. It's the only nativity scene I had ever seen at that point. You know, my geography and my place-based understanding of culture was not very well developed in the second and third grades. You know, now for sure, it is more of this sense of, if you're talking about public schools, there's a quote holiday season now, Jacob, right? This was the beginning of the war on Christmas. Woo! Because if you say happy holidays, you're part of the problem, Jacob. And that change actually, and I'm going to point out, I see a changing again that's actually occurring right before both of our eyes, and even Johnny when he comes out from under that wrapping paper, that I would say probably the early 2000s through the 2010s, the whole idea of happy holidays, inclusive Christmas, you know, potentially even pointing out that, you know, maybe the nativity scene was slightly Eurocentric. None of that was a problem, except we didn't know that it was a problem, except for Sean Hannity and those guys, Rush Limbaugh at the time, pointing out that actually those of us participating in Happy Holidays and not Merry Christmas, we were part of the movement to do away with Christmas. And actually now I will say, without judgment, Christmas is back, baby, and we're proud of it.
Really?
Well, I get a sense now that, you know, people have been liberated from the holidays and are now allowed to celebrate Christmas again. You know, because all those years. Oh, wait, you were still allowed to celebrate Christmas during all those years, too. But I'm so confused, Jacob.
And these rules around Christmas are so confusing because, you know, yeah, do you go to jail if you celebrate Christmas? Do you not? It's never been clear to me. But so you're saying that you have seen some changes, and I'm getting that it's in the direction of a more inclusive holiday season within schools. Is that correct?
Yeah, I'd say, and I will point out that it is geographically different though too. Some of your more small rural conservative type areas, you know, was a whole lot of still kind of like, you know, an overtone of Christmas in the holiday season, but an awareness that there should be some form of inclusivity in the way we celebrate the holidays. Right.
Yeah.
To the point where when I was in the Baltimore, Washington area, you know, it was very much that inclusive holiday season was in every school. And largely people, well, the diversity of the population in the Baltimore, Washington area was that those communities had a diversity of understandings of, quote, what the holiday season meant. And so as a public school, representing as many or being as open was just something that was, you know, actually good to do. So I've seen that, and now I can see a change where people are potentially – now even district administrators potentially going, like, I feel like I need to actually blatantly celebrate Christmas now and even feeling like they need to potentially be exclusionary so as not to draw the ire of the, what do you want to say, the counterattack on the war on Christmas.
You don't want to get attacked by the politically incorrect police who are just as voracious sometimes. Or more lately, I would say.
Yeah, I know you got more questions, so I'm going to shut up and let you keep going. Because, man, I could go on this thing for a long time.
Well, maybe some of those thoughts that you have can apply to the second question as well, because we're talking about coming from your experience growing up to where we are now. I want to know, as a teacher, how did you go about promoting holiday cheer in your classroom without potentially offending those who don't celebrate this holiday or that holiday, or making people feel left out for their beliefs? How'd you go about it, Tim?
Oh, Jacob, you got me. You got me. I'm going to be I'm going to be truthful. When I first started teaching and had my own classroom, 1990, back then, in, you know, as the 80s ended and the end of the best decade ever, and we began the beginning of what is now feeling like 40 years of a march towards the end.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
You know what? I wasn't as, quote, kind of keen to the inclusivity idea. It wasn't that I wasn't trying to blatantly be like, you're going to enjoy my Christmas, little kids, regardless of what you think.
Yeah.
It was just, I was following the cultural norms. And so at Norge Elementary School in Williamsburg, Virginia, where I was a second grade teacher, everybody in the school, teachers included, we put up, you know, Christmas stuff. I will say, though, there was an introduction, though, to include Hanukkah, because our principal, Dr. Myers, was Jewish. And so, you know, but again, that maybe was the only kind of nod to intentional inclusivity. It really was, for me, the is when I started my graduate work, actually down in at the University of Maryland, you know, right in the Baltimore, Washington metropolitan area, where these conversations about inclusivity, diversity, cultural understanding really became front and center in what I was learning about education. And so I probably spent more time talking about an inclusive holiday Christmas season with future teachers than I did as a teacher myself.
Well, what lessons did you learn there, and how did you apply them when you became a teacher of teachers? I mean, what was your message to your young teachers that you're educating on the holiday season? I mean, what should you do?
Well, you know, at that point, Jacob, I had become Dr. Tim Slecker.
And that does mean you know everything now.
Yeah, and I became a professor at a college. So you know right away that my ultra-Orthodox, socialistic, Marxist indoctrination chops were out fully swinging.
Tell them, comrade.
Advocating for, actually, you know, look, you want to participate in this commercial exploitation of all the peoples out there that are doing it, fine, you know. Just understand that when you're putting up these holiday celebrations, future teachers, make sure that you're letting those students know about the exploitation that's happening overseas to create the cheap, throwaway garbage that we put. No, I didn't. Okay.
Hey, you sound like you're a lot of fun at parties.
No, you know what? I brought to them this sense of saying, and there was an honesty of going like, look, the culture of the little small town in Homestead, Pennsylvania, the idea of inclusion was you know, like the weird neighbors two doors down, yeah, we'd sing Christmas carols for them, you know. But it really, I've always approached it as going, it's a good thing to be conscious of others. And what that meant to me was not the exclusion of Christmas, but the inclusion of others into what we would say is a holiday season, and even the inclusion of others that don't have, quote, that cultural holiday season, right? There are, Christians who don't celebrate Christmas. And some of those children are going to be in your classrooms too. So again, it's not the this idea of giving into the leftist, you know, indoctrination mob. It's actually looking at and saying it's an evolution of recognition of going like, you know, isolated cultures, we don't live in that world. And so to recognize, be respectful, acknowledge is just what a good teacher in a public school should be doing.
Tim, you're talking about how inclusion does not mean exclusion of Christmas. And here's my third and most important question, Tim. I've been saving it for last. The First Amendment prevents the government from establishing a religion, Dr. Tim Slecker. Does having a little Christmas tree in the classroom violate the First Amendment? Or is our modern, commercialized, secular Christmas something we can all enjoy?
Oh, I love that question. because actually, yeah, what's potentially more offensive, a Christmas tree or an acknowledgement that actually what we're supposed to be celebrating and what we actually practice, mass consumerism, commercial, right? Welcome, Son of God, Savior, peace on earth. Now I get to exploit workers, spend money on things I don't have or don't need.
Tim, when the Lord comes back and he sees he can get a new Kia with 0% APR, I think that's going to be really, that's how you want to celebrate that event happening.
No. How's that for an answer?
Brief.
Refresh me again on that one.
Tim, I'm wondering if Christmas, as it is celebrated in sort of a lamestream middle-class American context, is so watered down of any actual religious context that it's not about religion. It's more of a cultural American Snoopy holiday.
Putting up a Christmas tree, is that state-sponsored religious indoctrination? No. Could it be potentially, if it is exclusionary of other religions, and if you were in fact saying we as a public school or a public only acknowledge and recognize Christmas, and that's why we have a Christmas tree, it might be a different conversation now, because that could be potentially read as the government, the state, putting forward through a public institution a mandate about a religion. Putting up a Christmas tree and then somebody going, you know, what about, and if you're willing to say, oh, yeah, what about, great, let's set something up for them too, right? Not a problem. I always said this is, I love the whole concept of actually teaching about religion, because that would be actually one of the kind of fallback positions, you know, my students who are going to be teachers would go forward is, Dr. Slecker, you can't teach religion in schools. It's, you know, it's a violation of the Constitution. And I said, where'd you get that?
Yeah.
And most of the time it was, I don't know, osmosis.
Yes, yeah.
but what they were saying was is that religion is thorny, contentious, and so they've learned actually that the way to avoid quote controversy and things is that you shy away from teaching religion, which then somehow gets, you know, kind of colluded and muddled in with, well, you know, I just don't want to go against the Constitution. I'm like, actually teaching about religion is good education.
Yeah. And Tim, is it possible that on the other side of those thorns and brambles of controversial religious conversations is a nice meadow of educational understanding?
I mean, this is the thing I always said is that actually those most concerned with religious indoctrination through some form of kind of anti-indoctrination by not celebrating Christmas, which is, you know, is its own form of indoctrination. I'd say teach religion about religions wholehearted, jump in and go for it. Because now, what is the blowback really about? Wait a minute. You cannot be exposing my kids to other religions, Jacob. That's the heart of what that ends up coming down to is going, and so that's when I kind of point out to, you know, the religious truly indoctrinators going, you know, if you quote really are successful in needing to make Christianity the right now state-sponsored religion, you're now opening the door for one day when you're out of power that somebody else will make something else a state-sponsored religion and you might be out, right? Which is to go, which means inclusivity of all religions is the best protection of your Christmas.
I absolutely agree, Tim. I don't think there's anything more American than a Christmas tree with a menorah ornament on it. Let's just put a bunch of stuff and come together in a nice holiday season. I'm with you. Tim, we've got time for one last very important segment that we love to do here on the Producer's Choice Show.
Let's go!
Tim, in 60 seconds, or maybe I should give you a minute and 20 since Johnny's not here today. What was your favorite Christmas present you remember getting as a kid?
This is going to sound too like, oh, he just made that up.
Okay.
But seriously, this is before the tongue sticking on the flagpole and all that stuff. My Daisy Red Ryder BB gun.
Really?
I'm serious.
And did you shoot your eye out?
I did not shoot my eye out, but I will say that the Daisy Red Ryder BB gun that I got, my older cousin got the Crossman Air Pump 760 BB gun, which is a lot more powerful than the Daisy Red Ryder. And Christmas morning, we were showing each other our new BB guns, and my cousin let me shoot his, and we were shooting inside in a garage. And
is that what they recommend? You should shoot your BB gun in an enclosed small space. Okay.
No, but the BB did come back and smack me in the arm.
Ooh.
And you know, I of course started crying, and my older cousin and then his older brother came running over and smothering me, going, "Shut up, shut up, shut up." You know, "You're okay, you're okay.
We're gonna get in trouble."
Yeah, exactly. It was like, "You cannot tell mom and dad, your mom and dad, and my mom and dad that you got shot with a BB. I was like, okay. But actually, though, seriously, one of my best Christmases was getting that Daisy Red Ryder BB gun, man.
Tim, I like BB guns for, or I did. I haven't shot one since I was 14. But I liked BB guns, you know, shooting cans and stuff. But I never understood the airsoft guys and the paintball guys who like to go and get shot with these things.
Yeah,
that does not sound like fun to me, because I've seen what it does to a Dr. Pepper can 400 yards away. I don't want that hitting me in the butt as I run through the woods. That does not sound like my idea of fun. But Tim, thank you so much for joining me for this very special one-on-one Christmas interview. It's good to have a Christmas expert like yourself here with me. And now I think we've got time for one last thing.
Well, you know, it's time for your moment of zen. Surely, if it is the right of the people to alter or abolish, it is their right to criticize, even severely, policies they believe destructive of the ends for which government has been established.
Hey there, Pencil Busters. This is producer Jacob, and thank you for listening to the Producer's Choice Show. If you enjoyed this show, check out all the Busted Pencils programs, starting out Monday with Homeroom, Wednesday with Class in Session, and of course, you can always find us every Saturday across the Civic Media Network for 1 hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim, Johnny, and Jacob, and keep busting pencils.